Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Someone wisely noted there's an explosion of false gospel that is sugar-coated poison wrapped in a million-dollar smile.
That was Pastor Marty Herring, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we begin our year-long look at making a difference, Pastor Herring takes us to Paul's sermon in Acts 13, as he shares with us a message called Making a Difference, a New Testament Model.
Acts 13 actually is the launch of the first of four missionary journeys that Paul took. This is the first, probably around mid-40s, 44, 45 AD. And really then for the next 16 years, Paul took about four different missionary journeys, including one of those heading to Rome, paid for by the government, may I add, ultimately ended his life. This is the very first of these four missionary journeys. He is here with Barnabas. We read this in verse 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Acts just to set some context, if I can give it very briefly to you. This is these group of men from Antioch, which is up there in Syria, north of the land of Israel. And there were five of these men. Starts with in chapter 13, verse 1. There was in the church, it was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas. And then he mentions Simeon and Lucius and Manaen, which happened to be brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So Barnabas the first and Saul the last are the two that in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, the first and last in the list, for the work that I've called them." So when they fasted and they prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. It says, so they being sent forth, or literally, they let them go. They released them by the Holy Ghost. And so it documents in verse 4 and 5 where they went. In verse 6 through 12, they bump into a guy named Bar-Jesus, which was a bad guy. He was a false prophet. He was a Jew. And God miraculously used Paul to literally blind this man in verse 11. And then the deputy there in verse 12 believed. He was saved. He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And so Paul and company, verse 13, they went to Paphos and they went to Pergam, Pamphylia. And then John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. That's a whole nother story, but here you find Barnabas and Saul now. When they departed, they went to Perga. They came to Antioch and Pisidia. This is another Antioch. This is up by where modern-day Turkey is. They went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. They went to the Jews, because they knew the Jews knew the Scriptures, and they sat down. Verse 15, after the reading of the Law and the Prophets, they read the Bible. And then we know from earlier texts, they probably had some singing, that the rulers of the synagogue sent and said, "You men and brethren, you've any word of exhortation for the people?" And so here's now Paul gets a chance. So Paul stands up and he addresses two groups of people. Verse 16, Paul stood up and he beckoned with his hands. He said, "Men of Israel, and you that fear God, you give audience. Listen, I've got something to say." And this is where you end up finding those expectations and those requirements that as it was with him, and he was saying, "This is what I want to emphasize," I would say to you as well. Every believer has four responsibilities. Now the question is, what is those responsibilities? What are those themes? Acts 13, you can pick the story up in verse 13, and we're just going to kind of hopscotch our way through this particular passage from verse 13 ultimately to verse 52, and just draw highlights for you and an application for us today, because I think they're important. And this is where you end up finding those expectations and those requirements that as it was with him, and he was saying, "This is what I want to emphasize," I would say to you as well. First of all, you'll find him to make a difference. He exalted God's name. It became a mission that he was exalting God's name. You know what? For you and me today, it's not much different. If we're going to make a difference, as it was with Paul, he exalted God's name. You find it in verse 17. He says, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. He chose the Jews. And so from really verse 17 all the way down to really verse 38, he emphasizes by exalting the very name of God because he knew that God had chosen the Jews, and he begins walking through their history. God was overruling and ruling in all the affairs of man. He mentions in this particular message about verse 18, for the 40 years they suffered in the wilderness. He mentions about the Jews destroying other nations in verse 19. He mentions about the judges that for 450 years, Samuel the prophet, as well as many others, they desired a king. And notice he mentions the history, verse 22, when he, God, had removed him, he, God, raised unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. And he said, I've found David, the son of Jesse. Notice the phrase, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. Why did Paul, in his message, talk about history? Because he was leading up to all of that work with David, and he ultimately summarizes it with verse 26, men and brethren, look at your Bibles, children of the stock of Abraham, talking about the Jews. And whoever among you fear God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And he documented, verse 27, that the prophets were fulfilled in their words about who he's talking about the resurrection of Christ, verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, they desired the Pilate that he should be slain. Talking about Christ, they fulfilled all that was written of him. And he's saying to the Jews, all of this scripture is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He went on to state, but God, verse 30, raised him up from the dead, and that they are witnesses unto the people who, verse 33, we declare unto you glad tidings. This is good news, he's saying. And let me skip down, if you would, because I think he sums up verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. By him, all that believe are justified from all things. You know why he gave all that history? To realize there's a point in a place that God's going to use all of man's history, and it culminated, the still point in a turning world was the cross of Christ. And he didn't come just to be the fulfillment of all of prophecy that he did, but he was a justifier for you and me and our sin. Now, if I can lay that, I would also like to emphasize a second theme and a responsibility that you and I both carry, as Paul mentioned in his first message. Literally, that's exalting God's name. But secondly, you also know that there's a difference when we've got to exposit God's word. How do we know if God said this? This is why it draws us, as Paul took the preaching and said, I'm going to end up emphasizing all of who God is found in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do it by expositing God's word. I'm going to literally take God's word for what it is and study it and see him for who he is. He's emphasizing the scriptures, the scriptures, the scriptures. You say, man, sometimes I just don't understand all of it. I'm glad. Paul, in a book that was mentioned by Peter in 2 Peter, said, you know what, there's sometimes Paul's writings are hard to understand. Absolutely. This is why it is so important, and for us today to realize that in our day, if it was with Peter and Paul and John and even Paul, who in 2 Timothy 4 made the statement that in the end times, or when the time will come and they'll not endure sound or healthy doctrine, they're going to follow their own lusts. They're going to heap themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to turn away from the ears of their truth, and they're going to be turned into fables. They're going to end up going after whoever and whatever people say. Well, I'm talking about God. This must be true. Have you ever heard somebody on a television or radio and they've talked about God? And you think, well, they must be true. Have you had anybody come up to you in a store or in a restaurant or give you information and think, well, this must be true? Boy, if it was back in Paul's day, 2,000 years later, do you think it's not getting worse and worse? It gets more confused and more compromised? to be able to say, boy, I know this book and I know this to be true. Someone wisely noted there's an explosion of false gospel that is sugar-coated poison wrapped in a $1 million smile. I think that to be true. I think when I end up looking at all of Scripture, I realize that I can end up knowing what truth is as I study God's Word. That's what our interest is. That's why we're emphasizing God's name. We're emphasizing, let's take God's Word and exposit it. And in addition to that, when I look at Paul, I realize that to make a difference as he did, there had to be an example of God's people. When you look at the Bible, you realize there's so many examples of God's people. You realize that even in Acts chapter 13, look what Paul ended up emphasizing. And Luke here documenting this. When he got done preaching the emphasis of Jesus Christ, you end up finding in verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, this is the end of the sermon, this is the end of the worship service, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They said, you know what, this is so awesome. Would you come back next week? Would you end up, please, taking this and explaining this to us next week? And you find the example of Paul and Barnabas as great examples of people that personally spent time with them. Fact is, verse 43, and when the congregation was broken up, I like that term, they finished the service. Many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. And notice, this is what Paul and Barnabas was speaking to them. They were individually persuading them to continue in the grace of God. They were saying, listen, you keep doing this. You keep going to Scriptures. What does God have to say? And they were so motivating them. Fact is, in verse 45, you had people that didn't like that message. They were filled with envy. They spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul. They were contradicting them. They were blaspheming him. You know what they were saying? Hey, they were watering it down. They didn't like what God's word was being said. And so you had a group of people, even in Paul's day, as it is today, they don't like that. They were going to go against all of it. I think it's so important to realize that as Christians, we do need to be different. And all through these epistles, we're going to look at them. You'll realize the same thing. Alfred Barnes made a great statement. I don't agree with everything he said, but this one was a good one. You say, well, I know people and I know they're Christians and their walk and yet, man, they're like, I don't get it. There's something different about them. He said it this way, and I think it's to be true. When he made this statement, if nobody thinks you're strange, you're probably not a good Christian. And if everybody thinks you're strange, you're probably not a good Christian. Man, that's so wise. It is so true. I know some people say, you're a Christian. And you know what? They are weird, man. And everybody thinks they're weird. And you know what? Man, I've been wondering about that. And I know other Christians that say they're Christians, and nobody thinks they're different. Nobody thinks, you know what? They ain't no different than I am. They look like me, they dress like me, they act like me, they listen the same thing I like. This is why I think it's so important when you take the Scriptures as a whole, you realize that your own example can make a difference.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam, 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.